The Epistle Reading from Acts. Now during those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait tables. Therefore, friends, select among yourselves 7 men or women of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may anoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to the serving of the word." What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God continued to spread, and the number of disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to their faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel reading from Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Appoint us to sit one at your right and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to appoint, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called all of them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those with whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. Instead, whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
Well, today is an important day as we come to ordain our new deacons here at Broadway. The gifts and graces of each of these ordinands have been broadly recognized. They are already seen as servants and leaders within this church. They are called by God, and they are confirmed by the people. They have been duly elected to the office, and in a few minutes, they will be newly ordained to the service. Thanks be to God. Kendra, Donna, and Byron, we are proud to know you We pray over you, and we ask God to empower and to anoint you. May God grant you great spirit and great wisdom as you bear witness to the true meaning of Christ's quote-unquote great way. Leaders in the Church of Jesus Christ are called to be servants. They are called to live and minister in the same way as our Lord and Master did so himself. He was a servant. He washed his disciples' feet. He took time to care for aged, oppressed, and bereaved. He taught in all of what he said and all of what he did that the one who would wish to be great must be least, and the one who wishes to be leader must be servant. So the first hymn ever sung about Jesus we have recorded says this about him: being in very nature God, yet he did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very form of a servant and being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a human being. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God gave him the name that is above all names, that at the name of the servant leader, Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Deacons are the leaders in the church. But the word deacon literally means servant. Jesus Christ modeled servant leadership. He came to serve and not to be served. And leaders in the church of Jesus Christ are called to do the very same thing. This, incidentally, is why when the pastors and deacons here at Broadway come forward to serve the communion, the leaders of the church serve themselves last and the people first. Because leadership in the Church of Jesus Christ is called to a place of firstness that is lastness. And that is the gospel that Jesus Christ himself lived out with the fullness of his conviction and witness. This was, frankly, beloved, a radical reframing and reordering of the whole social arrangement. And it was difficult, truth be told, for the disciples to get it at first. In today's gospel lesson, James and his brother John ask Jesus if they can be one at his left and one at his right when he comes into his glory. In other words, they wanted the best seat in first class in the flight to heaven. Apparently embarrassed by such brazen requests by the apostles, later gospel writers changed the story a little bit to make the brothers look somewhat better. Mark says it was James and John who asked for the best seats at the banquet. But read Matthew and it says it wasn't James and John themselves, but rather the two brothers' mother who made the request. So we see Freud wasn't the first to try to blame the mom. It could have been James. It could have been John. It could have been their mother. It could have been all three. Regardless, it resulted in conflict between the two brothers and the other 10 disciples. Factions were formed. Fissures began to appear. Suspicion and mistrust took root in the cracks of the relationships. I don't think James and John or their mother had any intention of ever doing any damage to the relationships in the church. But beloved, damage was done. And there were hard feelings to resolve. And the answer that Jesus gave was, well, it was simple and it was also beautiful. He didn't take sides. Did you notice that in the reading? He did not take sides. He didn't rebuke or absolve one group over the other. Instead, what he did was remind the disciples, all 12 of them, of the necessity of humility in the context of the beloved community. He reminded them that it was not great glory, but simple, humble service that the community he was trying to create was really to be all about. You know, church can sometimes be a hard place. Have you ever noticed that? We are a fallible institution with fallible people and also fallible pastors. Our systems are fallible also. And I've always liked what John Brooks, one of the first deacons I ever had the privilege of ordaining in my first church in Vermont, used to say, everybody in this town says they don't want anything to do with organized religion. Well, if they would just come here, they would see how disorganized we really are. You read about the call of those first deacons, and you will see that there was some disorganization in the church, and there was dissatisfaction, and there were factions, and there was factionalism, and one group was accusing another group of leaving them out. Beloved, it really could have been quite ugly. But it wasn't ugly. It didn't get ugly. It didn't get ugly because the church leaders acted with humility. They were humble enough to admit that they needed to help, and the plan for the help that they came up with was the office of the deacons. And the Bible says the 12 called together the whole community of the people and instructed them to select from among themselves 7 of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who could help them work out their issues. And they came together and they listened. And they heard, They organized, they put a plan in place. And the scriptures say, because they did all of these things, the church prospered. This is what can happen when there is humble leadership. It's what can happen when we have people who are full of the Spirit and wisdom, who are willing to put their own interests aside and serve for the sake of both the whole body and also its many, many, and diverse parts. That is the charge that is given to these deacons. Byron, Kendra, Donna, the whole community has selected from among itself you three to be ordained to the office of deacon. You have been chosen because you too, the people say, are full of spirit and wisdom, regardless of what you think about yourselves. That's what these people see in you. It's what I see in you. We pray for you. We come today to lay our hands upon you and we join with God. We get the great privilege today of joining with God to ordain and empower you. We ask that you would lead with humility, and we charge you to serve this church with integrity. Help us to live up to that great commission given in our statement of vision and mission, that we might truly work together to create a church and a world where all are welcome and belong in the beloved community of Christ. Help us to be that church of Jesus Christ with leaders who live and serve like Jesus Christ. We are about to elect another president of the United States of America. I take it you knew that already. The commercials you've been subjected to over these last 6 months have made you well aware. In this political season, think about what Jesus says this morning. Among the nations, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their quote-unquote great ones are tyrants over them. But not so with you. No, it is not so among us. It may be so in the world, but it is not so in the church of Jesus Christ. For here the first are called to be the last, and the greatest of us the servant. And the deacons we ordain are given not a scepter with which to rule, but a towel in which to serve. This is leadership in the Church of Jesus Christ. And it is leadership in the way of Jesus Christ also. Let us follow it, beloved. Let us follow it and let us be it together. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people say,